We're now going to hear some words of remembrance from Daryl, from Josephine, and then Bill. Thank you.
Dad would have been so surprised at how many people wanted to come to his funeral. Mum, Josie and I are overwhelmed that you've all come. And on behalf of Mum, Josie and I would like to sincerely thank everyone for coming to mourn Dad's passing, to say one last goodbye, and also celebrate his life with us today. And Mum, don't worry, I'll get through it. Just a bit of a shaky start. Many of you have come long distances from JavaScript schedules to be here. Thank you all so much. I'd like to especially thank Mum, Josie, who so lovingly cared for Dad at home these last months and weeks. Dad loved home and his family, and he was very grateful to be able to spend his last days at home with his loved ones by his side. Dad wanted to be a celebration of life with bright music today. He also said we weren't allowed to cry. I told him he would not fulfill that wish. But he also said funerals were for the living and not the dead. Brian Peter McConnell was born in Yass on the 22nd of December 1943. And he was the second child of Bill and Iris McConnell. Dad and his older sister Pat lived on a eucalyptus farm near Jasper, where Dad's father distilled eucalyptus oil, living humbly in a tent. I can't help but think that these first years spurred his love of camping. The memory of our camping holidays with family, uncles, aunts, cousins. Yeah, like Dad, isn't it, Shepherd? Are some of the fondest memories of our childhood that Josie and I have, with the oldies at the campfire and the kids getting up to mischief elsewhere. When my brother Cliff and I were around 10 and 8, we decided with Dad that we needed a men's weekend. I can still clearly see Cliff, Dad and I sitting out the front of the tent eating cornflakes and milk with forks as the spoons had got forgotten. From their tent near Wee Jasper, Dad and his mother, my dad and his family, moved to Lithgow when he was 3 years old. Dad and Pat had an adventurous childhood, not just together, but with all the kids on the street. Pat remembers building dams in the dirt gutters and sailing boats, paper boats, in Stick Point Lane. I can only imagine the washing that Dad's mum had to do back in Australia. Dad did well at school. He went to Coole Primary and then Lithgow High, where he gained the intermediate certificate in 1959 at the age of 15. At this young age, he took up an apprenticeship with the Postmaster General's Department as a technician in training. Dad successfully became a fully qualified telephone technician, gaining practical skills such as soldering and wiring and learning about electricity and telecommunications. These were skills and knowledge that he treasured throughout his life. Even in his last days, Dad fixed the plug on my headphones that I broke on the flight over with his original PNG soldering iron from his apprenticeship. Up to the age of 25, Dad lived all over country New South Wales, working as a fully qualified technician, replacing the manual telephone exchanges with automatic ones. Travelling home regularly to Lithgow at weekends to see his mother, Dad also found another attraction, the Lithgow Rec, the most popular 50-50 dance hall in the district, says Mum. Two live bands, sometimes including Johnny O'Keefe, brought the place alive with rock and roll and jive, as well as the old-time dances. So many people came each Saturday night that the barn dance was shaped as a horseshoe to accommodate the crowd. When Dad was 18, he was successful in gaining a dance or two at the rec with an attractive young girl called Marion Crane. Courting back then was first dancing, getting the courage to take a girl home, often by the classic cafe for a milkshake, then the movies. Dad managed all of this. And soon Mum and Dad were engaged, and on the 26th of March 1966, at Hoskins Memorial Presbyterian Church, Mum and Dad were married. Dad was 22, Mum was 21. Mum and Dad recently, this year, celebrated their 50th anniversary. After their first home in Orange, they soon moved to Bathurst, where my brother Cliff was born. Dad was 24. During this time, Dad continued his work as a telephone technician, work which he really enjoyed. With starting a family, Mum encouraged Dad to get a job where they could settle down in one place. So he took on a 2-year traffic officer training course in Sydney, where I was born in Chatswood. Canberra, a growing young city, was the ideal place to bring up a family for Mum and Dad. So after completing the training, Dad decided instead to become a public servant in the Department of Interior, Parks and Gardens. Mum and Dad bought their first home in Higgins in 1971 when Dad was 26, and 1 year later, my sister Josie was born. Mum and Dad lived there for 43 years. Mum told me that family, community and friends were the most important things to them as a couple. He was always very supportive of me, always encouraged me and helped me not to worry unnecessarily, Mum told me a couple of months ago. Don't worry about something that might never happen, was one of his lines. I was struck by the love and affection that Mum gave Dad since he became ill, a testimony to their special Dad played an active role in so many aspects of our lives as kids. He was coach of Little Athletics and manager of Bell West Soccer Club. He was an active chairman of the board at Jindera High School, organising a computer lab to be set up at the school, thanks to the Atari Users Group, of which Dad was president. Also, he and Mum played a major role in the Jindera Art and Craft Fair for many years, a key fundraising event for the school. The computer program that Dad wrote provided a big draw card to attract artists, as it allowed them to be paid on the day. Thanks to Dad, Josie, Cliff and I all knew how to fix cars. We all have fond memories of working on the cars together with Dad. Dad believed in us kids making our own way in life, but was there immediately if anything went seriously wrong, to calmly reassure us and simply fix the problem. When I said goodbye to Dad shortly before he died and thanked him for everything he'd given me, he said, "I shouldn't have made you kids get jobs and earn your own pocket money. I'm very, very grateful for the opportunity to put his mind at rest on this topic, as I love those jobs." And he'd obviously been carrying this worry around with him for quite some time. In any case, I told Dad that teaching trumpet on Sundays at home was certainly repayment for any apparent wrongdoings on his side. Josie and I will be ever grateful for all the precious gifts that Mum and Dad have given us for life's journey. Dad loved making things and fixing things. Our garage, the gazebo, numerous cars, anything that was electrical, and many, many more. He also experimented. Dad loved photography. When he was courting Mum back in the 60s, he wanted a flash gun for his camera. And of course, as Dad often did, he decided to make his own. He asked Mum to hold the flash while he took a photo of them having a picnic with friends when Mum got thrown to the ground in an electric shock. Dad also built a computer from parts he had purchased from the US in the late 70s. The whole Higgins neighbourhood enjoyed coming over to Dad's study to play the Stomp Snails game that he had programmed. A further experiment to get a little bit extra power out of the computer, unfortunately, resulted in a smoke-filled study, and no more stops now. Dad was never idle. He always had a new interest or hobby, some of which were photography. He won a state award for a colour side portraiture, fossicking, painting, cheese making, jam making, gardening, chooks, an avid reader, sometimes reading 3 books in a week, and listening to e-books on his iPad, often while gardening or going for walks. He was a member of the University of the Third Age art group, which he was attending weekly until his last couple of months, when it became just too difficult for him. But in his last week, he did draw on all his strength to touch up a painting that he thought was unbalanced. Dad never stopped educating himself, demonstrating his belief in the importance of education and his thirst to learn new things. He obtained his first degree, a Bachelor of Arts, from the University of New England in 1981 at the age of 37. He did this degree by correspondence over a period of about 7 years while holding down a full-time job in the public service, travelling to Armidale twice a year for residential study, not to mention being an active father and, of course, blowing up the old computer. He gained his second degree, a graduate diploma in computing studies, one of his big passions, in 1989 at the age of 45. During this period of study, Dad transferred from the Department of Interior to the Health Commission and finally to Agrobo and then ComSuper in 1982. At the age of 39, to head up a unit called Special Projects, and later Human Resources and Property, retiring in 1997 as director. I've been told by a work colleague that Brian was a great believer in professional training. Staff members who have become long-time friends of Dad's remember those days as the most joyful times, though they do confess to suffering an overdose of Peter Drucker training films. Usually this work called for innovative solutions, and Brian was a strong advocate for emerging technologies. One epic breakthrough was the introduction of the first PC into the office, against, I'm told, considerable amount of scepticism and resistance. Dad was a tech head, but he was also a great humanitarian and cared a great deal for his staff and their welfare. When one member, who was fighting cancer, found it difficult to get to work, even though he desperately wanted to, Dad just quietly arranged for him to work from home. That was an idea about 20 years ahead of its time. And of course there was no internet then, so Brian sent staff members out to his home to fetch and carry the work. In 1992, my brother Cliff tragically and suddenly died. Something no parent should endure. Mum and Dad had dedicated so much of their life to help families in similar situations and trying to ensure that the same thing doesn't happen to others. This led them to founding the organisation Families and Friends for Drug Law Reform in 1995. Dad's fellow drug law reform advocate and long-term friend, Bill Bush, will speak more on this involvement. But I would like to make special mention of the book that Mum and Dad wrote to commemorate 20 years of families and Friends for Drug Law Reform. This was completed on time, even after Dad was diagnosed with mesothelioma and despite receiving chemotherapy at the same time, highlighting Dad's irrepressible determination. Mum and Dad have spent many hours as volunteers on a 24-hour telephone line for family drug support, supporting those in need. In later years, Dad immensely enjoyed caravan travel into the outback parts of Australia with Mum and Mum's brother Graham and wife Janice. He really enjoyed setting up camp, firing up the campfire, stirring the stew, cooking away in the camp oven and boiling the beer. We'll have a fire going back at Mum and Dad's house. He loved travel. I'll get there. Almost there. He loved travelling to Vienna to visit us and improving his German. I was so impressed how both he and Mum learned the language. Dad's fearless practicing of his German on innocent Viennese pedestrians was truly wonderful. He also enjoyed train travel around Europe, loving the journey just as much as the destinations. Last but certainly not least, he enjoyed being a granddad. Watching Marty, Evan and Nico playing basketball and soccer, and in the early years, reading to them, and painting and playing with Andy. Dad had a hunger to learn and a passion to create. Dad was a fiercely determined but quiet achiever. Dad was a man often ahead of his time, a man whose time has so sadly come to an end. Dad, we will miss you.